Welcome back. This is Sight to the Blind. Finally got this guest on. We've been emailing each other for, I think, for like past 2 years or maybe a year or so. It's been such a long time. I'm so glad I have her on the show and she can share her story and share the things that she's been through and coming into this walk. So go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Gina. I'm 46-year-old mom and wife. I live in Connecticut.
So, Gina, tell us, how did you become awakened and when did you know you were woken up?
Let's see. It would probably have to be the middle of 2019, towards the end. I first woke up to the medical industry, knowing that everything that we've been told is a lie. And it started putting the pieces together for me because my son, who's 14 now, was diagnosed with autism at the age of 2. And he was nonverbal, had his words, then lost them, and made the connections with vaccines back then. And a very good friend of mine who was having a child at the time was talking about not vaccinating her child. And I was just like, what? Why? So she told me that's not necessary, and we don't ever need to do that. And I was just like, okay. So I went down that rabbit hole. And like you've said before, at the bottom of every rabbit hole is yeah. And that's where he was. And his word, once I started reading it, came true that we are not supposed to be putting those things inside of our bodies. From that point, led me down the rabbit hole of celebrities, sports, Hollywood, finding out all the demonic things about that. I was just about coming to follow you. It was right after COVID and like following all the truthers back then that were putting out information, and found you, found your videos along with a couple of others. And it was just like mind blowing, scared the crap out of me. Once again, yeah, I was at the bottom of that because once you go through so much darkness, I lost sleep for like 2 nights. I couldn't sleep. And then finding him shortly after that, you had talked about, at that point, I only had the New King James version of the Bible. So I just started reading. But then shortly after that, you had talked about the Sefer. And I was just like, I need to get this. I want to see his restored name and Yahusha's restored name. So I purchased that the beginning of last year, started reading in March of 2024. Went straight through, although there were a few days, maybe weeks, that I wasn't reading. And during those times, I felt distant from him. So I always knew to come back and start reading again from the beginning to the end, keeping in mind that it is about a nation of people. And I am almost done. I just have the Book of Revelations to do. And then, yeah, here we are.
Did you go into any of the QAnon too? Because I know a lot of people fell for it and went, got their pages deleted because of it. But did you go into that at all?
I definitely went into that. I shared a lot of their things that they had said. I thought Trump was the savior at that point, and really believed a lot of what he was saying. I voted in 2016 for him, again in 2020, but this past election I sat out and I will not be voting anymore.
Nice. Now, when you read the Bible, when you started reading the Bible, did you ever feel the attack of sleep? Because I know when you first start and you read, you just start getting like very sleepy. It's like you were fighting and trying to read about Yah, but it was like some spirit came over you where to make you go to sleep. Did you fight through that at all?
I did fight through that. And then it was like the exact opposite of that because I didn't want to go to sleep. I wanted to just keep reading and reading and reading. And I started off, I believe you told your listeners to start off in like Enoch and then Jubilees and Jasher. Mm-hmm. Jasher is, I don't want to say my absolute favorite book, but my goodness, that kept my attention. Mm-hmm. I couldn't stop reading. It was just a page turner after page turner. And it was so good to hear about the 12 tribes. And I'm sorry, was that the 12 tribes or that was the, yes, that was the 12 tribes. And it was just, it was amazing to read. I think it's the first book of Chronicles that made me a little sleepy because it was just generation after generation, people's names and trying to pronounce them, and it was a bit hard, but I just kept on going, and he has blessed me in my life. Even I've always been, back in the day when I would call him God and JC, I've always been a firm believer, even though I am a Gentile, recovering Catholic, as I'd like to say. And I just he's blessed my life in so many ways, and I strayed away from him in my 20s big time by becoming hugely reckless with my body. And I think, like, because of that, when I was blessed to have a child, I think because I was so worldly back then, he blessed me with a boy when I wanted a girl. He blessed me with a boy who, even though diagnosed autism, he's very high functioning. He has his words now. He's independent to a point. And we had therapists for him early on and helped him look learn his words again and talk. And he went into school from preschool 3 all the way up to 6th grade in our towns. Middle school is 6th, 7th, and 8th. And he did wonderfully in elementary school and in preschool, had the amazing, most amazing support of teachers and those who really loved him. But once he got into 6th grade, it was the time of 2022 going into 2023, and teachers were leaving in boatloads. Paras were not available, and his support completely plummeted. So we were getting, my husband and I were getting phone calls near daily, and that had never happened in elementary before. So I believe it was May 22nd or May 12th, 2023. I just pulled him. I called my husband on the way to school, and I just said, "Today is the day." We had been talking about it, and I said, "I'm pulling him out. I'm going to homeschool him." He's like, "Are you sure?" I said, "I'm absolutely sure. I can't. I'm trying to work and I can't work, and my stomach's in knots getting these phone calls. So I think that it's best if we just pull him and I can do it all. I'll do it myself." So we've been homeschooling since spring of 2020. Well, I gave him the rest of the year off. We started in September of 2023. And according to, like, I don't know, worldly words of what we say, he'd be going into 9th grade this year, but I don't do that. I take it from where he is, and if it's 8th grade math that he's doing and 10th grade reading comprehension, like that's how we scale it.
Okay. Let's go back into when you say you were reckless in the flesh. Did you feel like you were searching for something and just wasn't getting it spiritually, or is was it because of Catholicism that you may have been still participating in that caused you just to rely more on flesh than it was on spirit because you didn't feel the fruit of being in a religion?
Yeah, I'd have to say that. I also, gosh, I didn't think I was gonna say this. Can I just say I had more than one abortion?
Okay.
And so that's what I mean by being reckless with my body. And drinking, of course, heavily. Started smoking weed, and just being as far away from Yah's word as I could possibly be. Not hating him, obviously. Back then, I still loved him, but he was not anywhere near me doing what I was doing. And knowing that now, I think the blessing of my son is how I was supposed to have him. Like, I just think that he sees the world as, so to speak, black and white. Like, what's right is right, and what's wrong is wrong. And I never saw that. I had loving parents growing up. They're still with me. Thank you. And but they were always, especially my mom, who was the disciplinarian in the house because my father worked a lot. She was very much, I wouldn't say strict. She was an enabler of sorts. So my brother got into pills and had to go away to rehab for like a year and a half, and that was Christian based to keep him out of prison. And instead of, I don't want to make this about my brother, I love him, but instead of having him go through the hard times of paying off his debt when he came out of rehab and paying back the debt that he owed, what he stole, my parents just covered it all. So, and I understand that, and I'm not here to judge. That's how my parents parented, but I would just, as a parent myself, it is hard, but I'm not gonna go. I want my son to have it easy, yes, but I know that there are struggles that he needs to go through to mature as a person himself. And I don't think that my brother has reached the full growth of maturity spiritually, mentally, because of the help that he received from my parents. And I don't want to do that. Will I help my son? Yes, I don't want to ever see him fall, but there are things where even though that they're hard, it brings forth so much growth that I think that it's important for him to go through as a person.
And you recognize these pitfalls or snares or stumbling blocks in your family as generational curses or coincidences?
I think generational curses. My mom came from a very poor household. She did have two parents who fought a lot. There was dysfunction in that household, and she and her siblings, there's six of them all together. Three of them are still alive. She is the baby of her siblings, and she's not close with her sister. There's just a lot of tension between them. I love my aunt and my uncle who's still around. But things aren't talked about. Like they're just swept under the rug a lot. And same thing with my parents. Like things aren't, it's what my father said, that's why, and it is what it is. We sweep everything else under the rug. Tomorrow's a new day. Are you feeling better? Good, let's go with it. But it's like I have feelings about that. And even though like putting myself back as a child, I understand that, you know, what a child says isn't it, but please just validate my feelings on why I feel this way, and maybe we could talk through it and then move on. But you don't just like sweep me under the rug because I am a child so that you don't hear how I feel about things.
And going through this situation, obviously being awakened and learning and reading about how we should forgive and repent for all of our generational mishaps in our bloodline, did you feel like you won't get the same closure, but you feel like you still have to repent for yourself and for your son's sake?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the podcasts you did a long time ago was talking about repenting for the sins of your bloodline. And I am, my mom is half Puerto Rican, half Italian. My dad is all Italian. So I know that there must be some sort of sins in our bloodline. So I've repented from that. I asked forgiveness from that. I even brought that up at a family dinner one time with my parents. And my dad's like, I'm not. Why would I do that? I said, just so you can clear yourself of any sins that you may have that you don't even know about. I mean, history that we know of is wicked and gruesome and hard on other people. So I think it's just important to ask forgiveness for that, even if we didn't have anything to do with it or our ancestors didn't, but just to be. Just to cover our bases, just in case, because we have that compassion in our hearts to do so.
Puerto Rican and Italian. I know the volume in that household had to be on 10.
Oh my goodness. Was it ever? Was it ever? And my mother, I love her so much. She's such a strong woman, but she runs the household. And my dad is a very strong woman, excuse me, strong man as well, but he's more meek and mild. And so he lets my mom dictate. And instead of putting her in her place, even now, As I'm 46, I can see how he should, why he should put her in her place. He just lets her go off sometimes. And I'm just like, wow, Dad, really, just if you could just rein that in. And he's like, Gina, 50 years with this woman, it's better to just let her be and do her thing. And I'm just like, but it's not for you. Like the way you feel inside about it, I can tell it shows on your face. And it would just be, it's just, she's very emotionally, I think my mother, immature, and she's getting better at it. She's been reading the word. She's been coming to the truth of what I've been sharing, praise Yah, about that. Not fully accepting. They're still holding on to the pagan holidays, and this last Christmas was the first one that I just stepped out of. I was like, I'm not being involved in this. Easter as well. I said, I will sit with you, but I'm not eating your food. I'm not talking about that holiday. I said, because it is nothing. There's nothing in scripture about Christmas, Easter, Thanksgiving. And if you learn the history on why we celebrate it, it is an abomination to our Father.
Did you feel like that dynamic affected your relationships with men because your mom was so strong in the household?
Yeah, I do. I do. I think my husband is a wonderful man. I love him so. He is someone that I knew in grade school, and we had lost contact for 20 years. And then, because of Facebook, a mutual friend of ours had befriended so many people, and he was talking to me about, oh my gosh, check out my friends list. You won't believe who I found, yada, yada. And that's when I went through his friend list and I saw my husband and I just messaged him and I messaged him and we've been talking ever since. But I think that if I hadn't messaged him, perhaps him and I would have not crossed paths. So instead of waiting and being patient and having the man choose me, I feel like I chose the man.
And how is that covering when you're awakened? Is he also awakened? Do you share the truth with him, or how's that process
He
been?
was always out of the matrix, so to speak, way before I was. So he knew the evils of the systems in this world and why we got into wars and all of those things way before me. It was actually Sandy Hook that happened here, 2012, I believe, and he's very much for owning guns and all of that. And that just broke my heart at the time. And he had to, because I was so emotional about it and not thinking clearly, he definitely spoke with me in such a way that had broken me of those emotional bonds towards that. Because I'm thinking, how can, someone go in there and they killed babies. These were babies, someone's babies. Now, knowing that it was probably not true, and the CIA or whomever had their way with that. Anyway, so he spoke with me in such a way. And after that, I was just like, wow. I was able to put some distance and look at things with a level head instead of being so emotionally riled up about things that happen here and coming undone because of the tragedies that happen and all. So it was a blessing in a way. He has known ever since I came into this truth. I'm sharing a lot with him and Yahuwah's real name and Yahusha, his son, the feasts that we are to be doing and not the pagan holidays, and he is all for it. I just wish in a way, like he depends on me for that, and I just wish that he would take it upon himself to get in it himself.
And that's what I love about the part in scripture where Paul talks about the woman shall sanctify the man if the man is not further along than the woman is, and then also vice versa. So I love that. Yah never gives us somebody that's totally asleep. He's always giving us somebody that's least knowing about it, so we
True,
can
yeah.
have that seed and the plant from there. That's such a blessing, especially here in your situation, because when I had Sister Kaylon San on, her husband is not totally against learning scripture and learning the true name. It's just we all have that seed, and certain people just can unleash that fruit, that watering that helps us grow and blossom. I would love to know, for my own edification, how he dealt with a very emotional woman, because it is a struggle and something that you have to have as far as patience to know how to deal with that. How was that process and him dealing with how emotional you are? Were there arguments, or were there was times that he just said, "You know what, I can't do this no more," or he just was really loyal and stuck with it?
There were arguments. There were times where he did have to put me in my place because, as a woman, you know, you understand where you're pushing the limits. You are pushing buttons. You are saying things just flying off with the mouth. And it was becoming to a point where I was disrespecting him. And I took a step back in those moments and I was just like, I can feel that. I'm literally pushing him away. After the arguments he would get, once we moved past the arguments, he would just shut down and be quiet. And I'm just like, what am I doing here? Why, when I have a man that loves me, who is such a supportive father and provides for our home, why would I wreck this? And then I tie it back to my mom and how. Not that she, my parents never fought. Maybe growing up, I probably witnessed a handful of times, and my mom was the one to leave. Like, she would just be like, I'm going for a drive. She'd go to her sister's or a friend's house or whomever. And I would see that, and I was just like, ah, you feel broken to a point when you see that, like my parents were always around each other and always in the house and always available. And now one of them's gone. And it's just like, I can't be doing that to my family. I can't be flying off the handle where I leave. Or if I do leave, it's just to go outside maybe or go for a walk or something, but not to like get in the car. It's never been that bad where I'd have to get in the car and physically leave the house. And I just, our issues at hand with my son, our son and stuff, I just felt like he deserves better of me. He deserves a level-minded mother. And I feel like I have been, with the help of Yah, to just be strong in a way where I don't have to run off at the mouth anymore to show my strength. Strong in a way where I know my place and to be, even I'm quiet now. I used to be so loud. I used to have an opinion about everything and I had to say it all the time. And now it's just like, after you step away from this world, the systems in place, seeing how, as you've said, and I laugh every time, how corny this world and the systems in place are, you're just like, and the worldly knowledge. I mean, I'm surrounded by, I do hair, so. A lot of my clients are college educated, and I'm surrounded by worldly knowledge and those who have degrees. And it's just like, that's stupid. What you think about, what you worry about, it's stupid. And it's so beneath our father that he has no dwelling in what you deem important.
And now in this awakening and process, what do you feel like you struggle with seeking Yah?
Okay, so back in April, we had celebrated Passover, the first one. And I really want to be on the correct calendar. So I know that Southern Africa is the land. I realize that and I recognize that. And I want to be on the Southern Hemisphere calendar. But I guess I'm just because I love Brother Ron. Oh my gosh. Truth Unedited, he's amazing. His video series of the history of religion really like holds such a place in my heart, opened up my eyes to so much, helped me understand scripture so much more. And I watched his video that he released last night, and he's talking about the fall feasts that are coming up because we are on the Northern Hemisphere calendar. And it's just like, so I'm struggling with that. It's like, okay, I did Passover. Should I be doing the fall feasts now, or should I pick up with Larry and start Passover now and then just go from there? So I'm really struggling with that right now.
I would just say rely on Yah. And like I said, that's why I put out all the scriptures that I needed to put out, confirming what Daniel said, what Solomon said, what Paul did in the book of Acts when he made it a point to come back to the land of Jerusalem to do Shavuot at the time was the feast. And he didn't stay where he was at preaching. Like he literally came from, I want to say either Ephesus or somewhere in Europe he was, and he made it a trip to come all the way down into Southern Africa to do a feast day. So to me, I go with what the prophets did and what King Solomon did. He said, if they pray towards your land, you will hear them and you will heal them. Daniel, when he wanted to make a prayer because they're going to force him, or they tried to force him to worship their God, that he had to make a petition and said, all right, I want to worship Yah. You have to have like 30 days of a petition so he can make a decision. And what he did was to pray, he faced towards Jerusalem. He didn't pray just anywhere in the room, he faced towards it. So to me, the land was so important to these prophets and to these kings. Who am I to be like, nah, I'm not going to do that if I have the ability to do that and the understanding to do that? That's what I leaned on. I mean, being in Northern Hemisphere, yes, it's easy because you know where your spring is, you know everything is, but I'd rather choose something that's going to make me uncomfortable in order for me to grow and understand and be closer to Yah. That's how I saw it. I saw it as if I'm seeking him, how far do I want to go to seek him spiritually? And like I said, I always make this joke, like I'm at the docks of America trying my hardest to get over there to Southern Africa spiritually and physically. So I would say just as much you pray about it and you do it over time, it'll convict you and say, okay, I need to make this jump. I did the same thing where I didn't know what hemisphere I was going to land on. Then I was like, you know what? Since I've been thinking about this and since I'm researching these maps, man, I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to do it. And that's recently when I started putting out the calendar and people urging me to do it. Like it took 3 or 4 years to me confidently saying, all right, this is where I'm going to go. And I'm going to share it to everybody who may not understand it that this is where I'm going. So yes, I would say go with Yah, but also go with what they did in the biblical times to make you feel a little bit better. How was your husband with you doing Passover meals and cooking? Because I know it's not something that he's used to. Is he Italian or what?
He is
Oh,
Italian
okay.
and Irish, yeah.
Oh, okay. So have you thrown in some of his foods too on Passover, or has he completely changed the diet during feast days?
It's hard for him to give up pork, man. Very hard, but he's getting there, and we don't feed it to our son. So, but he loves to cook. So this past Passover, he was all about cooking the lamb and doing it with a bitter herb salad. And then he also made this sauce full of, I think it was oregano, olive oil, was it basil? It was a, and he muddled it all together and put like the olive oil in it, and it was so good. It was what we put over the lamb and stuff, and you could put it on the matzah bread that we were making. And it was just this past Passover, it was so beautiful. Just the three of us being around the table, reading scripture, being so thankful to be in this truth and to be called out of this world. And I love it. I love it so much. He's very open to all of this, and he wants to please me. So I'm very thankful that he's on this journey with me.
Where do you guys go to or go through in order to protect you or fortify yourself and say like an economic collapse is going to happen? Have you thought about it? Have you prepared, saving canned goods? I always ask this question and see what people say.
We have been, every time we go grocery shopping, we'll pick up more canned goods, just to have in stock. And I've been doing, I haven't added to it in a while, but I'd get distilled water bottles, 'cause I didn't mention this, but like when back in the beginning of coming into truth and, after the medical industry, then realizing all the toxic chemicals that I had in my house, I was getting rid of that. So I learned how to make like DIY counter sprays and cleansing sprays such. So I would buy distilled water to mix with them. So I would save the big, huge gallon sizes or 2 gallon sizes, whatever they were. And I would save those and I would just fill them all. And now they're in our basement filled with water. I've got about 20 of them. We have an extra pack of bottled water as well. In the beginning, I was all about that. Like, we need to stockpile, we need to have all of this. And then the hurricanes that came the end of last summer in Florida, back to back, I was just like, if these people were preparing, all of it is washed away. Like, so I can't put so much stock in that. I need to know that Yah is my source and all of these things are my resources. And I treat them as that and just know that we'll be covered come his day.
Have you fasted at all during the walk?
I think I fasted unknowingly. Back in December of 2021, we came down with the COVID and I was very sick. I could not eat for 9 days. My husband was at the point of where he could not breathe, so he had to go into the hospital. He was there for about 7 days and came home, and we had both lost a ton of weight. And it was then that I realized that what I was putting in my body before then was just probably not good for me. And then coming into Yah's word, learning about the dietary laws, I'm just like, wow, here he is again
Right.
showing me, like, unbelievable. And so, but I do want to get into the biblical fasts and doing them. I think you said they were in the first month, fifth, seventh, and 10th.
Yes.
And I'd like to do that. Definitely.
Do you ever feel his correction? Like before, we were out here just running and gunning, like it was the wild, wild west of sin. When you now come into his covering, do you feel him correct you in certain things that you thought that you were right, but he had to step in and say, no, you're not right, and had you repent? Has that happened to you yet?
I'm sure there has been. I think the way he's corrected me is keeping my mouth shut mostly, in knowing when to speak, being blessed with the Ruach HaKodesh, knowing that the words that come out of my mouth can either hurt, harm, or spread love into someone. So I'm very mindful in the words that I choose when I speak. And I believe that that is a big part of his correction, because before I would swear like a sailor, I would s gossip like there was no tomorrow. I would just do a lot of things like that that are sins. And I think that that is his correction me. Sometimes it's very hard for me to stay quiet, but if someone knows that I am being quiet in my family and they're asking me like why I am, that's when I'll bring like truth into it and be like, well, I don't believe it's right for me to speak. Like, this has nothing to do with me. But if I were to say something, this is what I would go back to the scripture and learn from the prophets and how they spoke, or Yahusha and how he spoke. And he is so cool, man. He is the coolest. I remember in one of your podcasts, have how you talked about when he asked the woman if she had any husbands, and she said no, she didn't, or I had five husbands, and no, I he ended up telling her, you speak correctly, like you have no husbands, even though you probably messed around with all of these men. But it's just the way he speaks and how he puts things is just amazing to me. And what we used to think was cool and how to talk and slang and all that's, it's just like nothing compared to how Yahusha speaks and what he says and how he relays messages. And even in parables, like there was a time when I was reading that and I didn't understand. I'm just like, whoa. But I kept reading and I kept reading and I kept reading. And if you go further on, he does explain it. Like, because the apostles were just like, well, can you explain this plainly to us? Because we can't understand what you're saying. And then I'm just like, wow. It's amazing when it finally clicks and you get it.
Are there a lot of women in your family? or
No, I'd probably say an equal amount of men and women.
okay. The reason why I asked that, I feel like you feel like there's a mission that's going to be rested on your heart to share the truth or talk to the truth, mostly to the women in your family. Or do you feel like you don't really need a mission or need a kind of like, not saying like a, not a purpose, but not like an assignment that like you feel you don't need a needed assignment, that like you're doing what you're supposed to be doing now? Or do you feel like he's going to ask you to do something that will cause you to share the word more abundantly to those in your family?
I, in a way, I feel like I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing now, but if I were to have a mission, I think what it would be is I'm very blessed to work from home. My husband is handy, so he created a studio space for me in the one of the garage bays that we have. So I do hair inside of there.
Okay.
And I do have a good amount of clients. I only work Tuesdays and Thursdays, and I feel like if that would be my mission, it would be to share the truth with them. Because when I tell you, there's no one, there's one client of mine who I love. She is very open to understanding. Because I think it was last Easter, not this year, the year before, she texted me and said, Happy Easter. And I said, we don't celebrate that anymore, but thank you for your text. And I hope you have a wonderful day. And so the next time I saw her, which was later on that week, she'd be coming in to get her hair done. She was just like, you have to tell me, like, what happened? Why don't you celebrate that anymore? And so I started sharing the word with her. She's been very open to understanding it. But Larry, no one wants to read. No one wants to read. I mean, they'll read anything and everything else but scripture. And so I don't know. It's hard. I want to share things. And they look at me like, wow, like, yeah, but they don't, that doesn't give them the oomph to want
Do
to
the
read
right.
themselves. So it's just like, oh, wow, I feel sorry for them. I pity them in a way. I want to be joyous and have so much joy in my heart over this truth and knowing it. But then being surrounded by so many that don't, I get sad. I feel grieved for them. And so that's also where I struggle too, like wanting to just be so full of joy, but then feeling sad for all of these people around me that have no idea and just don't want to read for themselves.
And before you woke up, was your schedule a lot hectic than it is now?
Yes,
So that
it was.
confirms what I was saying. It's like if you search Yah and you want to search Yah, he will put you in a situation and have opportunities for you to worship him and won't be able to worry about going to work, you know, with these hellish hours trying to do Shabbats and feast days. If you show the desire that you want to please him, he will make sure you are in an environment that is going to be suitable for you to please him. Do you feel
Hallelujah.
like as soon
Yes.
as that happened, that switched over? You're like, oh, now I can stay at home. Now I can do hair. I don't have to do as much, and I can still do the feast days. How's that been
Yes.
a true blessing for you?
Has been an absolute blessing. One that I thank him for all the time because I never thought I would be here. It was always any the prayers that he's answered, man. I never thought that I would be here. I just thought that I'd have to work, 40 hours a week and to make ends meet and stuff. And no, I didn't. It was a lot of the choices that I was making. I quit smoking weed, December 30th, 2024. I touched it once, other than that, probably 2 months ago when a girlfriend of mine came over and I smoked a hit or two and I was just like, wow. It felt nice, yes, but afterwards I didn't feel good. It didn't feel right, and I knew that I wasn't supposed to be touching that again. So, but before I had quit, it was every day. It was multiple times a day. So much so that like I had a bag, with the stuff in it, and then at one point it would be at night all the time before bed because that would help me go to sleep. So for Sister Kaylan, if she's listening, just I know that you say that you use it for sleep, but just hope, I'm telling you don't need it for sleep. You can do this on your own. And I turned to him. I read his word, and it got me through. But it was turning into like a ritual thing, and I just remember thinking like, this isn't right. It was Yah's, his spirit that was talking to me at that time, and I'm just like, why am I doing this? It doesn't hit the same. It takes more for me to get high. I'm wasting money. This is stupid. And so I just praise Yah because he just really, I never thought that I would quit smoking weed. I really thought that I'd be well into my 60s, 70s, like still having a joint here and there. And it was just, it was amazing. And how he speaks to you, how he convicts you in what you're doing. And it's just like, wow. Thankful. I'm just so thankful.
What would you say was the reason why you smoked a lot of weed? Was it you were escaping? Was it the stress of the world? Like, can you go into that a
Both.
little bit more?
Definitely escaping. I think having my son and not knowing like how his future would be, I felt a great amount of heartache, stress from that. My husband and I pretty much were always on the same page, but I felt at a certain point because a lot was on me, and it was on me. He had to work, he had to provide for our family, even though I was still working at the time as well. I went back to one day a week after my son was born, just on Saturdays, back at the salon that I had been at for 15 years. And then I quit that and I ended up going to my clients' houses, like, so I would travel to them. And then, but it crazy, hectic schedule. Like, my husband would come home, I would go do hair just so someone could be home with our son. And I never saw him. And then when I would get home at night, well, the only thing to do and unwind is to smoke before I go to bed. And it was just, I think, then learning about the truth of this world, that stressed me out. So turning to weed was also a way to cope and a way to escape. That was before I got into the word and seeking out with all of me. And so I believe once you mature in that way, things just, they go away from you. Like they just die off. And it was a good thing for me, a very, very good thing. The one vice that I do still have, and I'm trying to quit that. I used to be a cigarette smoker as well, and 2 years ago I started vaping, like the nicotine vape. And so I'm still doing that. I try to be more mindful as to not do it so much, but sometimes I do, and I think that help. I don't know if I do it out of boredom, or I don't know if I'm doing it because I'm addicted probably to the nicotine, but I know that I could quit that too since I quit weed and I was smoking weed well before I ever picked up cigarettes. So I haven't been on fire to quit like I was weed. So I know that I can. I just got to do it. Probably
That's
using
where
it for an escape as well.
that's definitely where fasting comes in, like to purge it out off your flesh. It's just something that we're so used to because we feel like it's not really harming us, but it's just a, I would say, like a tick. Like, is this something that, oh, free time? It's like something you go to and you feel like you've taken care of everything else. It's like, I got a little 5 minutes. Like, I truly understand it. How did you conquer drinking though? Because you say you were a heavy drinker.
I just didn't like the way that I would feel the next morning. When I moved out of my parents' house at 25, I got my own condo through parties like there was no tomorrow. Drinking was always involved. Smoking weed always involved, and bottles of like the normal size bottles of wine. We did the liter size bottles of wine between me and one other girlfriend of mine, and we'd go through it, and then there would be another one. And I think, praise Yah, I never had to try hard to quit drinking. Maybe because I was drinking to fit in with everybody, that was the thing to do. But that was one of the things that I don't miss at all. Once in a while, occasionally I'll drink. We had wine for Passover. I drank a little bit over the summer, but getting my body, I used to be heavy, Larry. Like I was 60 pounds heavier than I am now. So I think the struggle to get where I'm at, honoring my body as a vessel for Yah is more important than wanting to drink, wanting to smoke weed. It's just the nicotine, man. I gotta quit that. And I will. I'm gonna fast over that for sure.
We have reached the end of the show. Please give women who have their family, are married, or are seeking to be married, seeking to have children, tell us what this walk is really truly all about for a woman in your situation.
This walk is about freedom in a way that the world doesn't define as freedom. When you fully give yourself over to our Father, Yahuwah, He opens so many doors and He closes the ones that you think would be the hardest quicker than you can believe. He is amazing in so many ways that we grew up never giving him credit for. He is the light in our lives that we look for, especially in these days when everything and the systems in place are so wicked and are quick to bring people down if you let them. We don't have cable. We don't watch the news, haven't in years. So if I could just tell people to get away from that. And when you feel any sort of stress or confusion, just opening up his word. And I started from the beginning. I never thought that I'd be able to read it and understand it, but I did. And you just start from the beginning, you continue on out, and he speaks to you through his word. You feel it. There's times you want to cry from his word. There's times that you want to laugh and feel so much joy in your heart. It's just a book of love that I pray many, many more people open and start reading for themselves.
That is such a motherly, motherly, motherly answer to the question. I love it. I love it. I love it. Sister Gina, this has been a pleasure, truly a blessing to understand your walk from your perspective. And it comes with so many stumbling blocks, snares, and pitfalls that you have navigated beautifully in order to understand that Yah has chosen all of us, not just the Israelites, but also those who had that seed in them and just didn't know where to find it and where to nourish it at. And we've been connecting with so many people in different assemblies, and I truly love it. And I speak, truly love and appreciate our correspondence leading up to this because, like I said, these years have gone by fast, and I didn't realize how long I have been talking to you about the truth and stuff for such a long period of time.
I want to thank you so much for all that you do. I love you so very much. I love our brother Ron so very much. The two of you have allowed me to come back to our Father in such a way that I could never repay. So I love you and I thank you and I keep praying for you and for our brother Ron and his ministry to keep on doing what you're doing because you are men of Yahuwah. You are admirable and congratulations on your marriage.
Oh,
You and
thank
I,
you.
we share the same wedding date, May 23rd. That's
Ah,
amazing.
nice.
Right?
Nice.
And I pray for you, my brother, and I appreciate you, all the truth that you share with us. I love the father that you are to your daughter, and just thank you so very much.
Thank you. Thank you. I love you too, Sister Gina. I definitely will continue our correspondence in the emails, but thank you so much for coming on the show.
You're welcome. Thank you.